to close out our series on praising God and why we should praise God and getting past all of those barriers, the hindrances, things that keep us from praising God. So I want to invite you to the Gospel of St. Luke. The Gospel of St. Luke for just a few minutes. I'm going to have to leave right after this service to attend a memorial service for my nephew's aunt. And so I ask that you keep the family in prayer. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And beginning in verse number 12, I'm reading from the New International Version. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on me." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest," which was according to the law. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Didn't we have a whole..." This ain't in the scripture. "Didn't we have a whole lot of folk that got blessed? Where are they today? I know it's raining outside, but God is still good." All right, let me get back to the text. I think you get the point. I think you get it. Verse 18. "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" I want to share with you a thought today, making praise a priority. Making praise a priority. Not just something you do on Sunday, but making it a priority.
Yeah.
Father, bless us now as we shall share your word. Help us, God, through the Holy Spirit to declare your truth as only you can do. I've studied, I've prayed, but I know that it's through the blessed anointing of the Holy Spirit that this word can be presented. So I'm praying that you would have your way and that you would indeed work in the service. Bless those that are listening online and those that will be joining us later to hear this message, that they may feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Praise should be the natural response of people who feel that something is good going on in their life. It shouldn't be something that you have to labor to do. It ought to come automatically. People say, "Well, I don't know how to praise." Well, let me explain to you what that praise is all about. When your favorite football team is on the field, or your baseball team, or your basketball team, and they may score a point, or they may be able to run a touchdown, you don't just sit there. You go off the chain. That's praise. It's not praising God, but it is expressing a grateful attitude for something that has happened that you feel good about. That's praise. You're in traffic and you're driving and someone all of a sudden gives you a break for you can come out and join them in the line of traffic, and you kind of wave at them and say thank you. That's praise. Now, if God is good to you, if the Lord woke you up this morning, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, praise ought to come automatically. No one should have to ask you, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. No one should have to ask you to raise your hand, because you know. You know for yourself that God has been good. As a matter of fact, we don't just praise the Lord sometime. We ought to bless the Lord all the time and give Him thanks because He is worthy. We join Luke in what's known as this synoptic gospel, and that's a big word that simply means that there are two other gospels that share basically the same stories, the same dealings of Jesus, some of the same words of Jesus. So they're very similar. So they came up with this fancy word and they called them synoptic. John's gospel is the one that kind of stands out because John wants you to know that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're saying, look at what God can do. But it's Luke that brings you into the text and into the stories of people's lives. Not the rich and famous, not the people who may be noble. They may be outcasts. They may be downtrodden. And Luke brings these people out, and he brings them in such a way so that you and I can relate to that. In other words, Luke is concerned about the folks that society would call nobodies. He introduces you to a woman who had an issue of blood, a nobody. And he shows you the process and the severity of her condition, but not only her condition, but her desperation that drove her to Jesus. A nobody who got something from the Lord and became a somebody because it was in God's hand. Luke is the one that will tell you about a man named Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a nobody, that Jesus saw climbing a tree and said, I must come to your house. Aren't you glad that God loves nobodies? Yes. Yes. Hollywood would give you the impression that God's not concerned about you because you don't have all this stuff. You don't have all of the silver and gold. Well, you may not have the silver and gold, but you got Jesus.
Yes.
And that's enough. Look at somebody saying, that's enough. Yeah, Luke will tell you about these people. He will tell you about those who are downtrodden. He's giving you a perspective to show you that if you apply your faith and believe in God, God will bless you, even though sometimes you feel like a nobody. This physician, this one who was known as a Gentile, he was non-Jewish, and yet he wrote about the Savior that came through the Jews. He told about people who suffered. And the story that we're bringing you into today about the lepers, they were people who suffered. They had a skin condition or a condition in their body that did not allow them to be around anybody else. Some of y'all ought to know that from COVID. I'm just saying. If you got it, folks didn't want to be around you because they wanted you to keep it to yourself. And believe it or not, according to the World Health Organization, we still have cases of leprosy around the world. 139 nations are still suffering with this problem. There was no cure for leprosy. That is, until Jesus came along. There was no hope for the leper. Isolated from his community, couldn't even hold a job because nobody wanted to hire them because anything they touched became contaminated. Isn't that something? Lepers were cut off from the community life. They couldn't enjoy going to the grocery store or spending time with their friend. The only friends they had were other lepers. Other people who shared that disease, you would lose the nerves in your fingers and toes would just stop working. You couldn't touch anything or feel it because of leprosy. And they would just scrape their bodies because they were trying to get rid of the dead skin. And finally, the skin would get so dead that even had their fingers and toes to just drop off. That was leprosy. But let me tell you something more deadly than leprosy. It's called sin. Some folk may act like they ain't got it, but You got it. But thank God there's a cure. And it's called the blood of the Lamb. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's called the one who died on the cross to save you and me. I thank God for the blood today. And I thank God for being saved. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Everybody ain't saved. But some folks are. Those who have surrendered themselves, who've said, Lord, I got this condition that nobody can help me with it, but I know you can. Only Jesus can wash away all of your sins. Somebody ought to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what Luke is doing, he's letting you know that these people are suffering. And according to the Old Testament law, they had to wear a cloth over their lip, or they had to put their hand over their lip. And if you came in contact or close to them, by the way, they were supposed to be separated. Notice they called on Jesus from a distance. That distance was about a football field. About a football field. And anyone who came into their proximity, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Now imagine that. All your life, can't talk to nobody, just saying, unclean, unclean. Oh, but then the hand of Jesus touched them, and they were cleansed. I got to slow down. I'm about to get happy on this thing. And you see, the thing is, I want to give you four things that I think is very critical in the lives of people when you talk about praise. We expect something from God, but we don't think that God expects anything from us. So in this priority of praise, I want to give you four basic things that ought to help you and help me to deal with praise. Number one, anticipation. Write that down. Anticipation. They anticipated God doing something, and God anticipated them giving praise. The second thing, the praise needs to be applied. Don't just say, I'm going to praise the Lord. Go and praise Him. What are you waiting for? Praise needs to be applied. And then thirdly, it must be acknowledged. God acknowledges your praise. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. And then finally, praise is always answered by God. If you praise Him, God's not going to just say amen. He's going to do something in your life. Hallelujah, somebody. So when Luke brings us into contact with these people, there are 10 of them. 10. How many?
10.
10 of them. They all cry out, not unclean, because they've heard something about Jesus. So when Jesus comes into their area about a football field away, they know who He is, and they are filled with anticipation that He's going to do something. So they don't cry out unclean. They said, Lord, have mercy on me. How many of y'all need God's mercy? Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Can I just tell you? There were times when I didn't know the Lord. I didn't even feel like I was worthy, but God looked beyond my fault and saw my need. That's the kind of God that we're talking about today. And you who are online, you might think that you're way outside of God's mercy, more than a football field, but you can be on the other side of the world and God will still have mercy on you because He's a loving God. I want you to notice something here, that when people hear about a disease somewhere, they try to avoid it. But when Jesus was going through that area, I know He knew that there were some lepers around there. He didn't avoid them. You know how y'all do when you try to avoid folk. Talk to me now. You're trying to avoid people, or either don't want people to see you. Yeah. Can I go down a street here? Standing there in the checkout line at your local store. Convenience store, and you don't want nobody that you don't want nobody to know that you're getting ready to buy a ticket. All of a sudden, here come another church member, or here come Reverend Coleman. Now you're just grabbing stuff off the shelf. Just say, you know you ain't want them potato chips. You were there trying to talk to me up in here. But what God does, He looks beyond your fault, and rather than avoiding you, He wants to come close to you. God is a God of love.
Yes, sir.
Yes, He's a God who judges sin, but He wants to love you. He wants to give you His mercy and goodness before He brings about judgment.
Yes, sir.
God says to Ezekiel, I have no delight in the death of the wicked or in the judgment of the wicked, but they might repent and they might turn to me. Isn't that a merciful God?
Yes, sir.
So we go into this text as we see these desperate lepers, these sick people, these hopeless people. The only thing that they have in their future is death. That's the only thing. But all of a sudden, when death didn't show up, Jesus did. Won't He turn things around? Won't He work in your life? Won't He provide for your need? That's why you got to praise Him. Praise ought not to be something that you do every now and then. Praise ought to come on your lips every morning when you get up. Lord, thank You for another day. Thank You for bringing me over. Thank You for touching my body last night. Could have been dead and gone, sleeping in my grave. But Lord, You had mercy on me. Thank You. Praise ought to be
Hallelujah.
A priority in your life. First thing we understand from the scriptures that when they called out to God, when they called out to Jesus, they anticipated something. They wanted mercy to start moving in their life. They wanted the power of God to touch them, not that they deserve it. Notice they didn't say, Lord, give me healing, because they felt like, I don't deserve it. Everybody else done kicked me to the curb. Everybody else turned their back on me. When folks got to bring your food out there, and then they got to walk away before you be able to get to. Imagine how that makes you feel. How many of you have ever felt put down? How many? Be real now. And you kept saying to yourself, but one day, I'm going to get back up. Guess what? Today is going to be your day. Today is on the calendar that the Lord's going to bless you. And if nobody else thinks you got it, all you got to do is lift up your hands and praise God and know, and know, and know that you are blessed. You're blessed. They came with anticipation. That's the word that we want to use, anticipation.
Yes, sir.
But as they made their request, I want you to notice something, that Jesus responded to them. Now, He's quoting to them, which kind of threw me for a curve a little bit. It kind of threw me a little bit. Why would Jesus tell them go to the priest if He was going to heal them? Why would He do that? Jesus came to fulfill the law. In the law, in order for them to be declared clean, a priest had to do it. Now, watch what I'm telling you. Watch what I'm telling you. Now, when they were on their way with anticipation that they were going to be healed, they're walking, they're talking to each other. They said, well, Jesus told us, go check out the priest. I don't know why, but I'm going. And the Samaritan, he's looking at everybody else. I don't know no priest. I'm a Samaritan. I ain't got no good religion. All I got is me. But Jesus told me to go, so I'm going to hang out with you all. Come on, somebody. I'm going to walk a little bit with you all because you know what I'm going through. We've been partners in this thing this far. You know what I'm going through, so I'm going to walk a little bit with you. But on their way, how can I talk about it? The result of their faith in God and what Jesus said touched their body.
Yes,
it went through their ears, and it touched their body, and they were all cleansed. Isn't it in the book? It's in the book. Every one of them, all 10 of them were clean. Now notice they anticipated and they got it. But now God's anticipating something to happen within them. Okay, if I got it,
yeah,
I got to tell somebody about it.
Yeah.
And while the others, they're just walking on, the one who was the oddball, that might be you. Everybody else in church ain't saying nothing. Nobody else acting like God is good, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gets on you, and all of a sudden you got to holler out. You can't keep it to yourself. You can't keep it to yourself. You just got to tell somebody that God is good. The other day I got a text from Courtney. Jamari had to go in for a procedure. They didn't know the results of it. And Courtney had to tell somebody. So all of a sudden, she texts me and said, "Pastor, there's no cancer in his body. God is good."
Good. Yeah.
You got to tell. Y'all said, "I got to get out of here. I got to go to another service. I got to go to another service." Anticipation.
Hallelujah.
Your faith says to God, "Lord, I know you can do it." And then you wait on him. You wait on him. You wait on him. And all of a sudden it comes to you. But it's just simply ill-mannered for you to get the blessing and not lift up your hands and say, "Lord, thank you." That one Samaritan, "Wait a minute. Man, I never felt like this in years."
Yes, sir.
"Wait a minute. What?" He looked at his hands, and his hands were new. Touched his face and said, "Wait a minute. I don't feel those scratches. What's going on here?" And the other folk just kept walking. Just kept walking. He stopped. Because before you turn around, you got to stop. Whole lot of folks said, "Lord, I'm going to change," and you're still going in the same direction. You look at somebody, tell them, "You got to stop.
You got to stop."
He stops.
Yeah.
He turns around, and he looks at Jesus.
Yeah.
And he said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for how you blessed me. I wish I had time to deal with it." That's when I talk about praise being applied. Praise being applied. He applied his praise. He got what he wanted through anticipation. And then he said, "Wait a minute. God's expecting something of me. I got to give him glory. I got to give him thanks. May not have money in my bank. My check might bounce before Monday. But that's all right. I want to thank him." Because he's still good. Look at somebody say, "He's still good."
Still good.
Look at somebody else telling me, "He's still good." All the time. The Lord blesses us. I got to move on. I got to move on. He applied the praise. And when you apply the praise, ladies and gentlemen, that is the only thing that you can give to God that generates from you. Everything else you do for God has got to generate from him. Let me break it down to you. You wouldn't have got out of your bed this morning if the Lord hadn't, as the old folks said, taught your body.
Yes, sir.
The hand of Jesus had to touch you. That's why you were able to respond in life. But now you apply your praise. I'm going to tell you something. The older you get, the more you start praying and talking to God.
Yeah.
You start walking and that old bad knee went, "Oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord." Pain was on this side of your body. Now tomorrow, he said, "Well, I'm going to be on that side." So, you know, "Oh, God, thank you, Jesus." We must apply our praise, church.
Yes, sir.
When we come in here, and I don't mean you got to be noisy like me. I've told you before. But every one of y'all ain't quiet. Amen? You have to have that thankful heart, which brings me to this point. You cannot really praise God unless it's genuine. You can't fake a praise. Amen? I've been to some churches that when one person got up and jumped and shouted, everybody else got up and jumped and shouted. But don't do it unless you really, really know that God has blessed you. Back to the 10 lepers. Other 9 kept on going. This one, not only did he turn around and stop, but remember that distance of the football field? He said, "Wait a minute, I'm going to score a touchdown today. I got to go see Jesus." I got to tell him. And the Bible said, look at this in your Bible. He came and threw himself down. I like that word. I like that because sometimes we get too polite and we get too churchified and we want to have everything to be in the right place at the right time. But sometimes you got to run down to the altar and you just got to shed so many tears and you got to cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me. I know it looks ugly. I know folks are looking at me in the church. I know they think I'm going crazy, but I'm praising God so I don't go crazy. I'm thanking him for all of the good things he's done in my life. The praise was anticipated, but then the praise was applied. But notice, third thing, the third point is, the praise is acknowledged. The man came, threw himself down at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Every time you don't show up before God in praise, he's looking for you. He knows what he's done for you. Well, I don't feel like it. I ain't feeling it. That's what the young folks say. I ain't feeling it. Malachi, is that it? I ain't feeling it. All right, just trying to be cool, man. You don't feel praise. You give praise. And then God acknowledges your praise. Jesus said, now, I'm glad he showed up. But it was all 10 of them that got healed. And would have been more if more had been in the crowd. You ought to read some of the other Gospels. Mark just runs through his Gospel. He said, and all the lepers that came to him, Jesus healed them. He's got so much power in the healing of his way. All the drugstores in the world could not compare to the healing power of Jesus' name. And the only side effect to Jesus healing you is that you're going to praise him. You're going to thank him. You're going to rejoice. As we see this man coming to Jesus, the Lord expected the others to praise him. He expected them. He anticipated their praise. But then when this one man praised the Lord, he acknowledged him. When you come before God, the Lord acknowledged you. Then I close with this simple word. The praise was answered. Remember when I tell you that this man was a Samaritan? Which meant he could go to the local synagogue and really say to the priest, well, number one, the priest didn't want to deal with him because he was Samaritan. So when he came to Jesus, he was really saying, Lord, you're all I got. I don't know the local rabbi. I'm not acquainted with that way of living. In Samaria, we kind of worship God in any way we felt, but I'm talking to you because you healed me. How many of y'all ever woke up at night and just talked to the Lord? 2 o'clock in the morning. And while you're praying, the prayer gets good. You turn from your need to his blessing. And you start looking to him and say, Lord, if it had not been for you, I still got trouble in my life, but I want to thank you for being with me in the midnight hour. How many of y'all ever talk to him like that? Tell him that he's good. And it's better than sleep. When you rest in God, it's better than you taking a nap. You don't say, Lord, I got to go back to sleep. Lord, I just still want to talk to you. I still want to tell you how good you are and how you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. This man came to Jesus. No one else that could actually deal with him. No one else that he had that relationship with except Jesus, because the Lord had touched him through the word. So he looks at him. He brings himself to Jesus. Notice verse 19. Jesus said this word. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Ladies and gentlemen, that was not just a statement. That was a declaration of freedom that Jesus spoke to his life. Reverend Ray talked about declaring the word over your life. Do you not know that when you worry and complain, only thing you're doing is giving credit to your problems? But when you declare the word over your situation, I'm not saying you deny the problem, but you declare God's word over your problem. Said, Lord, you said the earth is everything in the world belongs to you. Okay, Lord, this problem that I have could not seem to solve. Prayed and I prayed, but I kept getting deeper involved. I'm going to turn it over to you, Jesus. And I'm going to stop worrying about it. I'm going to give it over to the Lord, and he's going to work it out. Can I get a witness here? The Lord answers your prayer. You might still have the same limp, but you got a praise in your heart that's greater than your limp. Oh, y'all don't hear me preaching to you. Because you're rejoicing in God, and you're glad that the Lord has brought you from a mighty, mighty long way. Amen? Don't just look at praise as being the last thing you're going to do. Well, I reckon the Lord going to come in after a while. I reckon he's going to bless me after a while. Make after a while right now. Amen. Make after a while right now, because that's when you declare, I know that he may not give me what I want today, but all he got to do is keep me, and everything will be all right. Can I get a witness here? We're living in a desperate world. We're living in a world that's filled with trouble, but that doesn't mean that the trouble should fill your heart. If you got praise in your heart, you know trouble ain't going to last always. Look at somebody, tell them, it ain't going to last. Every day that we live, another tragedy. Yes. Shootings have become commonplace.
Yes, sir.
Now they're coming up with so many variants to COVID and all of these other things. They don't forget what to name them. Just give it RSV or whatever else. People don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to face all of these things. But if you can just praise him, you get beyond that problem into the presence of the living God. Oh, I want to tell you, God is faithful. God is good. God is merciful. I want to thank you for your love. Put me in the right key. Thank you for your power. Thank you for protection. Every hour. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for protection. Every hour. Why? Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases. People are slipping away. It's down. Pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Anybody that's thinking here? Listen, there are folks without homes, living out in the streets. Drug habits, some say, just can't be beat. There are muggers and robbers, no place seem to be safe. Lord, you've been my protection every step of the way. And I want to say
thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Could have been me.
Thank you.
Outdoors.
Thank you.
With no food.
Thank you.
And no clothes.
Thank you.
Just alone.
Thank you.
And without a friend.
Thank you.
Or just another number.
Thank you.
With a tragic end.
Thank you.
But you didn't see fit.
Thank you.
Let none of these things be.
Thank you.
By your grace and your power.
Thank you.
You keep on. Keep it
thank
me.
You.
And I want to say
thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Hey, it could have been me. Come
thank
on, get that church rock.
You.
Outdoors.
Thank you.
With no food.
Thank you.
And no clothes.
Thank you.
All alone.
Thank you.
And without a friend.
Thank you.
Or just another number.
Thank
with a tragic end.
Thank you.
But you didn't see fit.
You didn't
let
see
none of these things be. By your grace and your power.
Thank you.
You keep on keeping
thank
me.
You.
And I want to say thank you,
Lord, for all you've done for
me. I want to say
all you've done
for me. I want to
you for his love and for his power. Come on now. Yes, sir.
Thank you for your love.
Yeah.
And your power. And your grace.
Thank you.
In every hour.
Thank you.
I've been broke.
Thank you.
Many times.
Thank you.
Didn't have no money.
Thank you.
Didn't have no dime.
Thank you.
But your grace and mercy.
Thank you.
It brought me through.
Thank you.
I don't know what I'd do.
Thank you.
If I didn't have you.
Thank you.
And I want to say
thank you,
Lord, for all. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
I want to thank you for your love.
Thank you.
Want to thank you for your power.
Thank you.
Thank you for protection.
Thank you.
Every hour.
Thank you.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for your power.
Thank you.
Thank you for protection.
Thank you.
Every hour.
Thank you.
I want to say
thank you,
Lord,
for all you've done.
Give the Lord a hand clap if we need. Go on, praise him. Go on and praise him. Go on and praise him. Go on and praise him. We want to give the invitation. There might be someone today. Might be someone today that you're struggling. You're online. You can't come down the aisle, but you can connect with us. You can say, Pastor, this message touched me. We'll do whatever we can to help you find your way in Christ. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, where you'll be able to find out more information. You can contact me, pastor@crossroadbc.com. We'll be able to help you. If you're in here, maybe you've never said yes to the Lord. Whole lot of stuff going on in your life, but I can tell you, you're going to need him sooner or later. You get your praise in. You honor him, because the Lord answers prayer. So if there's anyone in here that you've never surrendered your life to God, today would be a good day.